I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This is the true story of a gorgeous Austin socialite, Regina. Her lesbian lover, Kim.
And he said they couldn't keep their hands off of each other.
This moment was where fantasy met up with reality.
And the dangerous stranger who comes between them.
Kim, Regina, and Justin are the love triangle from hell.
It's a story of lust, addiction.
Crystal meth is a killer.
And rival obsessions that threaten to destroy them all.
She was completely obsessed. She couldn't let it go.
Beware. Extreme passion can lead to shocking consequences. Austin, Texas is an open-minded oasis right in the middle of America's reddest state.
Well, Austin is a college town. It's a very young town, lots of clubs, and it's a very liberal city.
Homosexuality is much more accepted here than in some communities.
In 1994, Austin's gay club scene is thriving, and among the partygoers, one vibrant young woman stands out. She's 24-year-old Regina Hartwell.
She was a little short thing, and she was absolutely beautiful. She always had to look perfect, like an old movie star.
Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Out as a lesbian for several years, the brash and confident Regina appears to have it all. Looks, popularity, and a glamorous lifestyle.
Drinks are on me. We're going to party tonight.
When she walked into a bar, everyone noticed because she was loud. Woo! She danced hard, she drank hard, she partied hard. If you can say this about a woman, she was a ballsy woman.
And there's one thing that keeps her party energy high.
Regina liked cocaine because it was glamorous. She wanted to present this image of a high society, hard-partying sophisticate.
But the dazzling surface conceals a tragic past.
When she was a teenager, her mother was killed in a freak industrial accident.
Hey, boy.
There was a large settlement, and she received quite a bit of money when she became an adult.
Who wants to party tonight?
Her father remarried, and he moved to another community.
Having raised herself since her mid-teens, Regina has tried hard to fritter away what she refers to as her blood money.
She would buy everybody's drinks. She would buy people clothes. I honestly believe that she had some sort of guilt, knowing that her mother had died for that.
Her traumatic childhood and intense personality often lead her to look for love in all the wrong places. and she's about to make the same mistake again. On July 4th, 1994, Regina's partying at a club when she meets someone who will alter the course of her life. Her name is Kim.
Hi.
Kim had just graduated from high school and was going through freshman orientation at the University of Texas. She was about 5'1", former high school cheerleader, and Kim has a smile that can light up a room.
The striking teenager is from the outskirts of Austin, but college will give her a chance to escape the suburbs for good.
Kim was vivacious. She was friendly. She had everything Regina Hartwell wanted in a girlfriend.
I think Regina just was madly in love at first sight.
There's just one problem.
Kim was unavailable because she was reputedly straight.
In the days following their first meeting, Regina makes sure to invite Kim everywhere she goes.
Hey, how are you?
Kim knows that Regina is gay, but even though she's not interested in a relationship with a woman, she tells her she would love to be friends.
Regina told me that she was unlike any other girl she had ever met.
But as Regina spends more time with Kim, she sees her as not only an object of desire, but also as a damaged kindred spirit.
Kim and Regina had dysfunctional childhoods in common.
Kim had been abused by her stepfather and outwardly seemed like a popular, happy teenager, but I think deep down she was suffering.
Regina could have been sensing on some level that Kim also had a troubled past. And so there was an appeal there as well, two souls really connected.
So I have a little present for you.
What? During the summer of 1994, Regina makes it her mission to win Kim over.
Open it.
She spent lavishly to entice Kim to spend time with her.
Oh my God.
Within 2 weeks, Regina was giving Kim her ATM card and saying, use it whenever you need it. Within a month, she was taking Kim on a cruise to the Bahamas. She was giving Kim whatever she wanted.
Oh my God, I'm gonna have the best time.
But even though Kim doesn't want to be Regina's girlfriend, the once abused and neglected teen can't say no to the love and attention the older woman showers on her.
She still, at that point, was not willing to give in and become sexually involved with this woman, but she couldn't turn down the gifts of money, and she did take advantage of Regina.
Thank you.
The closer the two girls become, the more frustrated Regina feels with their platonic relationship. A short time after their first meeting, the pair is out at a club when Regina sets in motion her plan to unlock Kim's inhibitions.
Kim and Regina did start using recreational drugs, especially ecstasy.
You're gonna love it.
For Kim, it's a major turning point.
I think it was partly an escape for her, and also it did lower her inhibitions.
Under the influence of the drug, she starts to respond to Regina's physical attentions.
Ecstasy used to be known as the sex drug, and Regina gave it to Kim, and it worked. It did lower Kim's resistance, and she was more affectionate with Regina.
Regina is betting that the quickest way to get what she wants from Kim lies in these little white pills. Soon, popping ecstasy is a regular habit for the two friends.
Yeah.
Kim got hooked on ecstasy. That did have a huge impact on their relationship and how it progressed.
Did Regina use the ecstasy as a tool to get Kim to submit to her? I suspect so.
Regina is amping up the pressure, and it seems to be working. So when Kim finally kisses her, Regina feels like she's died and gone to heaven.
Regina's friends described Regina as just becoming more and more happy as this relationship began to turn physical. She felt like she was winning the battle.
The more ecstasy Kim takes, the more passionate she becomes. And soon enough, Regina tells her friends that Kim is giving her everything she's been longing for.
During those episodes of taking ecstasy together, they crossed that line and started becoming more romantically and physically involved.
This moment was kind of a long, sexually awaited moment for both of them, where fantasy met up with reality. Ecstasy made their first sexual encounter even more heightened. It was this perfect storm of meeting in the middle.
24-year-old Regina Hartwell is head over heels in lust with 18-year-old Kim. But the passion she feels for the young woman won't lead to happily ever after. Instead, it'll be a road straight to addiction, betrayal, and murder.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Twenty-four-year-old lesbian Regina Hartwell is obsessed with her heterosexual friend Kim. The relationship starts out as strictly platonic until the pair take ecstasy together. Regina now has everything she's been dreaming of, and she doesn't plan on letting go. By the fall of 1994, there's an intense connection between Regina and Kim.
They became a very serious item.
Regina is head over heels in love, but Kim seems more hesitant.
She would admit publicly that she and Regina were dating, but not that they were having sex.
And Regina's close friends are unconvinced about Kim's true feelings towards her.
We didn't quite understand the situation. There were times that Kim would be very affectionate to her, but those were the times that she needed something or wanted something.
I don't think any of Regina's friends ever felt like Kim had completely changed her orientation.
In December of 1994, 6 months after they first met, Regina takes Kim to New York for a shopping trip, believing that everything is perfect in their new relationship. But trouble is brewing.
What?
Kim was in a foul mood. Nothing pleased her.
The trip to New York was a turning point. Regina was focusing all of her attention on Kim.
Do you want to go get a drink?
No, what, do you always want to get me drunk?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Kim was somewhat frustrated with all of the attention, and she began to distance herself.
The situation escalates, and Kim finally snaps.
What is the matter?
I don't want to do this anymore.
Do what?
Kim and Regina had a huge fight where Kim said, I'm not a lesbian. I can't do this.
You're suffocating me, and that's it.
When Kim did break up with her, Regina was devastated.
But is she really ready to let Kim go without a fight? Once they return home, Regina pretends she's fine with the breakup. But secretly, she has very different plans. She insists on remaining friends and knows just how to keep Kim on board.
She started introducing more hardcore drugs. Cocaine was introduced.
Regina doesn't stop there and throws more money at the object of her affection.
When the sex stopped, the gifts got stronger. She created a $5,000 trust fund for her. She rented Kim an apartment, paid the rent.
But what Regina doesn't realize is that Kim is craving something she simply can't provide. The reality is that Kim is done experimenting with women.
She had not been with a man in quite a while.
In the spring of 1995, in a bid to separate from Regina and build financial independence, Kim finds a new job at a gym and quickly sets herself a goal.
She says, the next guy who walks through that door, I'm going to go out with him.
She doesn't have to wait long.
The next guy who walked through that door was 6'4", drop-dead gorgeous, former blue-chip football player, Justin Thomas.
Hey, I'm Kim. I'm new.
Hey, Kim. I'm Justin.
Justin Thomas was working as a trainer at the gym.
Justin was 23. He was quite a physical specimen.
Oh, you're in great shape, too.
Yeah, but not as much as you.
Kim thinks, I hit the jackpot.
As Kim and Justin chat, she's instantly attracted to him. But what she doesn't realize is just how much they have in common.
Justin grew up in California and had a very tragic childhood. His parents divorced when he was young. His mother remarried numerous times. Some of the men she married were physically abusive to Justin.
Kim's not about to let the sexy stranger slip through her fingers.
She makes sure she gets his pager number.
Over the next few weeks, Kim and Justin keep in touch. And one evening in early May, the 18-year-old invites the gorgeous gym trainer over to her apartment.
They're listening to music, hanging out, and she says something like, do you party?
At that point, Kim was using cocaine fairly heavily.
Oh, yeah.
They both do a rail. He can tell she's wanting more.
Little does Kim know, but Justin is exactly the man to give it to her.
He says, well, do you know what crystal meth is?
In fact, the hot trainer has a far from healthy lifestyle.
He was a drug dealer. Rather than providing cocaine, Justin was deeper involved in crystal meth.
Kim has never tried this mysterious new drug. She's about to open the door to hell.
Crystal meth is a killer. It attacks you, attaches to you, and I think it really drives a person into desolate bottoms of the world when you use drugs like that.
They snort it, and he knew right then she was hooked on it.
Hopped up on crystal meth, Kim and Justin's affair goes from 0 to 60 in an instant.
From then on, the sex started. They had sex in the hallway. They had sex in the bathroom. Justin says on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 10, and he was a goner.
Justin and Kim both described their relationship as being very intense.
Anytime somebody does a drug, especially something like crystal meth, everything is intensified. So anything they want to do probably feels 1,000 times better.
For Kim, it's a double dose of extreme highs.
She had two things she was longing for: sex with a man and drugs.
Kim now knows she has to have Justin in her life. But that's going to mean doing something about Regina. Kim arranges to meet her former lover to break the news. She can't afford to cut her rich benefactor out of her life completely, so she has to play her cards very carefully.
I think that Kim still wanted to maintain a friendship, a relationship with Regina for the money.
I kind of have to tell you something.
But when Kim finally comes clean, she's totally unprepared for Regina's reaction.
I am seeing somebody.
You would think that there would be a big blow up and she would get mad or she would cry. But that didn't happen.
Wow. It's fantastic.
Regina takes the news remarkably well. Kim can hardly believe her luck.
She's thinking, I can have the best of both worlds. I can have Regina paying my bills and I can have Justin as my lover.
But is Regina really as laid back about the situation as she seems? The reality is that Regina's merely putting on a brilliant act for Kim's benefit.
Underneath, she was seething.
She was extremely mad and hurt. She just thought to herself, I'm going to win her back.
No one's going to turn down Regina Hartwell. She's going to make you love her one way or the other.
Regina begins scheming to win Kim back. And she'll stop at nothing, no matter what the consequences. ...18-year-old Kim has ended a relationship with Regina and is now having a steamy affair with a man named Justin. But when Regina finds out, she becomes hell-bent on winning Kim back. Throughout May of 1995, Regina insists on spending time with Kim and her new lover, Justin.
Regina encouraged that they all hang out together.
But each of the three secretly has their own agenda.
How'd you guys meet?
Regina's motivation is obvious to those who know her well.
That's good.
It was about keeping Kim around her. She was completely obsessed. She couldn't let it go.
Kim is surprised that Regina wants to hang out with her and Justin. But not wanting to lose Regina's financial support, she goes along with it.
Kim, having become accustomed to Regina's money being there, became accepting of the fact that now she had both of these people in her life.
And Kim makes sure Justin's aware of the central role Regina plays in her life.
Kim explained to Justin, look, you've got to understand about Regina. She pays for my apartment, she gives me money, she takes care of me. I can't sacrifice that relationship.
He's less than thrilled about the third wheel in his love life. Until Kim explains to him that she has access to Regina's bank account.
Every single day, Kim can go to the ATM machine and get $200 or $300 that she immediately turns over to Justin.
And there's something even more powerful that bonds the unlikely threesome together.
Once the three of them started hanging out, they began using drugs together.
For Justin, getting to know Regina quickly pays off. He exploits her status in the Austin club scene, spotting a lucrative gap in the market.
At that time, crystal meth was becoming very popular in the gay community. There was an opportunity for money. And who else better to do it than somebody that was queen of the gay community?
Regina is still determined to win Kim back. Knowing Kim's weakness for cocaine, she makes sure there's always plenty around.
Regina was using that money and using the drugs to get what she wanted, to keep Kim in her life.
But combined with the crystal meth she's been getting from Justin, Kim's becoming increasingly addled by drugs.
It was a battle within Kim. I don't want Regina, but I can't survive without her.
And soon enough, she'll do whatever it takes to get her fix, even yielding to Regina's desire for her again.
Kim is a drug addict, and Regina is really supporting her lifestyle with Justin. So Kim understands what the deal is. So I'll have sex if it helps me get what I want.
Regina wants to show Justin that he's got competition. So she makes sure he sees her and Kim in action.
Justin would talk about watching Kim and Regina together sexually, and he said they couldn't keep their hands off of each other.
Justin seeks to turn the situation to his advantage by trying to join in on the fun. But to his fury, a threesome is not in the cards.
Regina said she could not imagine having sex with a man. It drove him crazy, either sexually exciting him, and when he wasn't sexually excited, he was jealous. And Justin could get really jealous.
Three is definitely starting to feel like a crowd. But how much exclusion can Justin handle before he snaps? Constant drug use takes a physical and mental toll on all three of them.
The drugs had really kind of taken over, and it was consuming them.
They were all becoming paranoid and more suspicious of each other.
Let's leave. Let's get out of here.
I think we're good.
Why are you always trying to separate the two of us?
Kim is sick of being stuck in the middle.
Please stop!
Kim, Regina, and Justin are the love triangle from hell.
As Kim's 19th birthday approaches on May 17th, 1995, Regina decides to do something she knows Justin would never be able to afford.
She proposed for Kim's 19th birthday to take Kim to Cancun. She set up the entire trip, but Justin was not invited.
Deep down, Kim has no interest in going away with Regina, but she's talked into it by none other than Justin.
Through Regina, he can now distribute drugs through the gay community, which he had no access to before.
You need to go.
He talked Kim into trying to be sweet to Regina again and to use Regina in every way possible.
Regina is also keen to keep up the pretense that she's okay with Justin, so she makes him a friendly offer.
It's Regina.
During the time that Regina and Kim were going to be in Cancun, Regina asked Justin if he would stay at her apartment.
Okay, all right, good.
Regina was big in to keep your enemies close.
She believes she's in full control of the situation until Justin shows up at her apartment. To her horror, the drug dealer calmly unpacks two enormous guns without a word of explanation.
She was scared to death because he carried guns, and she was terrified for her safety.
Regina desperately wants Justin out of her and Kim's lives. But now she realizes for the first time that he is armed and very dangerous. Regina is embroiled in a deadly love triangle with the object of her affection, Kim, and Kim's jealous drug dealer boyfriend, Justin. When he shows up at Regina's apartment with two huge guns, she realizes she could be in serious trouble.
She was extremely nervous. She didn't know what to do.
The reality dawns on Regina that she has wildly underestimated Kim's boyfriend.
Regina was somewhat skeptical of his claims of being a big drug dealer, and she was probably hoping to expose him embellishing about himself, but he wasn't embellishing.
At this point, she was really in over her head, but Regina was so desperate, she was willing to cross lines that shouldn't be crossed.
Sensing Regina's fear, Justin relishes having the upper hand for once. It seems Regina's money can buy a lot of things, but not this kind of power. He's got her on the ropes, and he loves it. He coolly explains to her that he's actually giving her the guns as collateral for money he wants to borrow to finance more drug deals. But Regina is sure that the guns also represent an unspoken threat.
By introducing these guns into the situation, that was Justin's way of saying, not only am I real, but I'm packing.
For Regina, getting Kim away from Justin is now a matter of real urgency. But on the luxury vacation to Cancun, her cunning plan fails completely.
The trip was apparently a total disaster. Regina was telling Kim that Justin was bad for her, that Kim should stay away from him.
Kim is like, I can't handle this anymore. Came back early, and Regina's left in Cancun by herself.
Having failed to win Kim over in Cancun, Regina tries a different tack when she gets home to Austin.
Regina's finally had it, and she demands that Kim dump Justin.
You can't make me do that.
Knowing that Kim relies on her financially, Regina threatens to cut her off. But the strategy backfires. Kim shocks Regina by telling her for the first time that she can keep her money.
She told Regina she had reached the point where she realized her life was so far out of control that she was going to stop using drugs.
She says, I am dumping both of you and I'm going back home.
That was the first time that Regina had heard Kim speak like that. And I think it did terrify Regina.
Regina is so shaken by Kim's outburst, she makes a fateful decision.
That is probably what led to Regina taking the very dramatic step of claiming that she was going to turn Justin into the police.
Kim is shocked. She knows that if Regina blows the lid on Justin's drug dealing, could land all of them in huge trouble with the law.
Regina had learned enough about Justin's connections that it wasn't an idle threat.
Later that day, Regina's friend Jeremy stops by her apartment. It seems as though Regina has finally had enough of all the drama.
She told me she wanted to get away from all the drugs and she wanted out.
By the following day, June 29, 1995, Regina appears to have made good on her promise. Because when friends try to contact her, they get no response.
I got a key to her apartment. So I went over there. The apartment was a mess. But Regina was not the cleanest person in the world. So I cleaned her apartment. I didn't think anything of it.
But as another day passes without word from Regina, friends start to worry.
Some thought that maybe she had checked herself into treatment. She might have just walked away from everything, that her Jeep was gone, and they didn't know what to make of that.
A Because days turn into a week, and there's still no sign of Regina, her friends are increasingly frightened for her safety. They reach out to Kim and ask her to come over to Regina's apartment.
Kim comes over, and she's like, I don't know, we haven't seen her.
Regina's friend leaves Kim in the apartment for a short time by herself.
Then I go back, and I hear this crying in the apartment. Kim, who is screaming, I love her, I should have been closer to her. I'm frantic because she is just as scared as the rest of us. So that's when we call the police.
Kim's behavior is so alarming, it's the final straw. A missing persons report is filed, and on July 5th, 1995, Regina's friend Jeremy goes back to check on her apartment.
I realized that the answer machine is blinking. It was a message from the Bastrop County Sheriff's Department. So I call them back and I say, I have a friend and we're desperately worried about her. Her name was Regina Hartwell. And the person says, I need to put you on hold.
For a few brief moments, Regina's devoted friend prays for good news, but his hopes are quickly dashed.
He said, we have found Regina's Jeep in a field, and there is a body in the back. It's been burnt.
In fact, the body is so badly scorched that dental records are required to prove its identity.
That, combined with certain information from the Jeep, allowed them to connect the dots and figure out that this body was Regina Hartwell.
Investigators are about to uncover the twisted tale of obsession and addiction for which Regina paid the ultimate price. ...25-year-old Regina Hartwell's body has been found charred beyond recognition inside her car. Detectives begin piecing together the final days of a young woman whose self-destructive personality led her down a very dark path. An autopsy is performed on Regina's burned remains.
It was determined that cause of death was a deep stab wound.
Regina's missing persons file officially becomes a homicide investigation. Detectives go to Regina's apartment, where they find no obvious signs of a struggle. Crime scene technicians spray the surfaces with luminol, a substance that reveals latent traces of blood which can't be seen by the naked eye. And when they turn on an ultraviolet light, they make a grisly breakthrough.
I remember them opening the door, and they had put that glow-in-the-dark stuff. And there was blood splattered all over the walls.
Regina's friend is shocked. During his earlier visit, the blood on the walls had been invisible.
I had told him that I had cleaned the apartment. And I thought how stupid I was to not have noticed. How stupid I was for cleaning my friend's blood.
But it's now clear that the killer had already wiped the obvious bloodstains from the surfaces of the apartment before Jeremy got there. Police have no idea why anyone would want to harm Regina. So they turn to her friends for answers.
Kim and Justin's name kept surfacing.
Kim, who everyone described as being the closest, was nowhere to be found. Friends also explained the recent appearance of Justin onto the scene. I mean, he was nowhere to be found as well.
Detectives run a background check and find that Justin is wanted out of state on some serious charges. The couple are tracked to an address on the outskirts of Austin. But even veteran officers of the force are shocked by what they find there.
A woman comes walking down the stairs, and I said, are you Kim? She did not look like her high school cheerleader photos.
They're stunned at what they see. There's Kim basically a skeleton for so many drugs? Hollow-eyed also, red-eyed, red-nosed. They're like walking zombies and totally out of it.
Given their close ties to the victim, police are keen to find out if either Kim or Justin can shed any light on what might have happened to Regina. At the Austin Police Department, Kim quickly breaks under questioning, revealing a twisted tale.
She told the story of the relationship with Regina and how Justin had come into the picture, and she portrayed it as though Regina was this very overbearing, pushy person and that she was desperate.
Right before Regina's murder, Kim and Regina had several arguments.
When Regina threatens to turn Justin in, Kim feels completely trapped. She wastes no time telling Justin about Regina's threat.
Kim said Justin was very angry about the possibility that Regina might turn him in to the police.
Kim begs Justin to find a way out of this nightmare.
You need to do something.
Listen,
because
relax.
I can't live it anymore.
She's telling Justin, I'm sick of this. The woman is just driving me crazy. I've got to get away from her. And of course, Justin wants Kim away from Regina sexually.
Justin decides it's time to solve the problem of Regina once and for all. Kim then reveals to police that early on the morning of June 29th, Justin goes to Regina's apartment.
Regina was on the couch. He pulled a knife out.
What are you doing?
He stabbed her multiple times. It took her a long time to die. While she was bleeding out from the injuries, he put her body in the bathtub so that the blood would drain into the tub. He then rolled her body up, and the comforter put her body in Regina's own Jeep and then drove Regina's Jeep back over to Kim's apartment.
She explains to police how, later on that day, Justin embarks on a frantic bid to cover up the gruesome crime.
Eventually, they drove Regina's Jeep out to an isolated area and put Regina's body in the Jeep and then set it on fire.
Following an intense, year-long investigation, the case comes to trial in August 1996. Kim has been offered immunity for her testimony against Justin. On August 21st, 1996, an Austin jury finds Justin guilty of murder.
Justin is a truly evil person with absolutely no remorse. To be quite blunt, he's just a monster. Kim definitely picked the wrong person to get involved with.
Regina's friends are left to mourn a vibrant life cut tragically short.
My grandmother used to say, you'll have five friends your whole life. In my heart, she was one of those five friends. Today, I tell her she's greatly missed, because there were a lot that truly loved her for her. I tell her I love her.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.